In Connemara, there is a gap in the ravening teeth of the Mam Turk Mountains. It is a pass known as Maumeen, an ancient crossing point. It raises itself up 300 metres from the floor of the lush Ina Valley and has been used by many since this wild landscape was first inhabited. At its summit, and exposed to the elemental unpredictability of the Atlantic, is a mass rock and holy well. The rock dates back to the darkness of our penal past. As for the well, who knows what pagan ancestry it possesses in the gloom of its prehistoric depths. The pass over the mountains at Maumeen is well worn. It has been trodden by pilgrims, by walkers, and in bleaker times by straggles of famine refugees. Those refugees from hunger drifted along the paths and grassy tussocks in broken lines of insubstantial rags, all that remained of a proud and dignified people. If you are quiet and watchful at the summit of the pass, you may discover that you are not alone, that there are flitting shadows in the periphery of your vision. Ghosts inhabit this strange theatre of broken rocks. It is a sacred place, a place where people carry upon their bent shoulders the burden of their cares and of their dreams. Offerings are placed in a cleft of rock beside the ancient altar. Votive candles, scant hoards of coin, and small personal tokens such as a comb, a button, a flower. On one particular and memorable visit, some strange phantasmal spirit reached out and touched me. I discovered there on the shelf of rock, amidst the magpie clutter of pilgrim oblations, that someone had hung a memorial card for a young New York fireman who had lost his life in the inferno that was the aftermath of the Twin Towers bombing. It hung by a string above the rocky ledge, and on that day was caught by a soft breeze blowing up from the Atlantic Ocean. The fingers of wind gently spun the laminated card, at once presenting me with the handsome face of the young fireman, and then replacing his image with a memorial prayer of intercession. I wondered who could have placed it there, 3,000 miles from his home. I turned my gaze westward, across the mild acres of Whale Road. He felt so close. It was as if I could read in the clouds' images the smoking aftermath of his death, laid out there against the rim of the distant horizon. He seemed to speak to me in the wind that whispered through blades of hungry grass and through the scream of gulls high above my head. I read his name, Joseph G. Hunter, Fire Officer Number 5484 from Squad 288, New York City. From his photograph, he smiles out at me through perfect teeth, but there is also a slight furrow of puzzlement between his brown eyes. He appears confused as to how he could have wound up here so far away from home. He seems mystified as to how this disaster could have befallen him. He who rushed to extinguish a fire instead had his brief life snuffed out. Born in September, he died in September. Joseph G. Hunter, number 5484, from New York City. I wondered how long this memorial card might remain in the cleft of rock. What would happen first? Would some schoolgirl place his image between the leaves of her prayer book, where she might keep his memory hidden all to herself? Or would the ocean make a fist and whip up treacherous fury that would blow Joseph G. Hunter from his resting place and scatter him to the elements along the tracks of previous sorrow in these ancient mountains? Who knows, for this is a strange place, inhabited by the ghosts of history, by the hushed lines of anguished spirits who pass by with bowed backs and who bend to stopper their children's starving mouths with handfuls of insubstantial grass. A high gate acts as sentry to the pilgrimage path at Maumeen. Age and rust are the elements that make it squeal whenever someone enters or exits the sanctuary. Until the day I found the image of Joseph G. Hunter, I thought it the sound of an unoiled hinge. I now know better. It is the cry of pain, torment, and rage.